There's actually so much to say this morning. I thought it would go snowstorm, but it looks like it's a little warmer than that. So that's good news. You should have a safe drive home. Let me do two things, or three or four. Dear friends of mine are here this morning, Chris and Julie Parsons. If you see like a group of trees back there in one row, come on, I'm going to embarrass you. I know Chris won't mind, but could you all stand up so I can feel inferior? Is this ridiculous? Thank you, bro. I'll explain why I'm having them. If you get up close to these guys, these are big, and ladies. Chris was a tremendous youth pastor in my former church. He was more than that. He was a pastor. Julie was a wonderful wife. Are you guys still in Virginia Beach, or where are you? Oh, we have to make that distinction. I follow that. I live down there, too. I'm not ashamed, though. Okay, just saying. It's Northern Virginia, I know how you feel. Actually, they're from up here, as you know, and went down there, got an education, and they're doing great. Beautiful family. Welcome and congratulations. And I owe that man so much. He was such a good friend and a supporter. So thank you, Chris, for all you did for our church. Thank you, bro. The second thing is, as Maria said, we can use help, especially Sunday mornings, in greeting people, in ushering, maybe as things get worse in the best sense, with some parking, children. Sunday mornings is a labor-intensive morning. And if you know, some of you are like me. We talk very fast. We're slightly crazy and love people. We just love meeting people and hanging out. If you're that kind of guy, please meet our new group of visitors. Sign up to be a greeter. There's a table out in the lobby. Diana, am I getting this right? Okay, so far so good. And you are gifted by the Lord for something. Some of you are teachers. We call, you're either homeschool teachers or just teachers in the public school, and you just swim towards teaching like a duck takes to water, and that's a gifting or a talent. I won't get into that debate that God has given you. Use it for His glory. We can really use it here so that people, when they come in, feel loved, they're ushered in, somebody's smiling, somebody's telling them just with their body language about the love of God. So we need servants more and more. And if you could see Diana out in the lobby or her representative, that'd be great. And Diana and Andrew are an outrageous example of service. You just can't have better people than them. And thank you for what you do. You know I love you. Yep. Now, for those of you that have been here, I'm feeling a little inferior. I'm tired of listening to Mark's tapes and stuff. And yeah, I know what you're saying. He's better than the old man. I got that. It's no problem, okay? He's a gifted man. So gifted, in fact, that he took 48 of our young adults to Rockbridge to serve the Lord Jesus. They are catering to the needs of 400 inter-varsity kids and adults. So I am so proud of your kids. That's who they are. Teddy is an example. He's our designated handsome man that we do servant stuff with. Apparently, if you do service, you get to look like Teddy at the end of the day. Some of you ladies might be concerned about that, but the men would be glad to look like that boy. The bottom line is that there's a place of service for you, and your kids are doing great, that they're out there doing something for other people. Our youth group's going to go out and do the same thing. So there is an ethos, there is an ethic of service because Jesus was the servant of all. All right, this morning, I'm going to stay happy, but this is one more icky kind of segment. You cannot escape that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. He came to destroy all the works of the evil one. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago, just giving a flavor and a pattern. I had no belief in Satan, demonic strongholds, none of that. Certainly not in a man who could walk on water, etc., etc. But over the length of a life, in my early Christian walk, and take your time with this. Put things on the shelf that you have problems with if you just come to Christ. I didn't believe in Satan. I didn't believe in this stuff, and I'm not going to glorify him except to tell you, almost uniquely on my particular college campus, I was confronted with things that were far beyond me. And the longer I have lived, the more I've seen that the Bible does square with reality. There are dark urges and forces out here. You know, I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat things. I'm a coach, and that's what I do. Repetition is the mother of knowledge. The German people were exposed in the 19th century, early 20th century, to their best theologians were trying to demythologize the Bible. Take away all its myths and miracles. Make it kind of just a feel-good and Jesus is a wonderful guy kind of thing. But that's not what the scriptures are describing. We've talked about the excellence of the historian Luke, who goes from specific geographical descriptions of areas in great detail to then talking about supernatural miracles. Now, I got Jesus. I knew he came. And when I came to Christ, something happened inside me. The kingdom of God, he said, is in you. And he also began to extend his kingdom by discipling. And that's one of our D words this morning. By teaching, by training. And a lot of the best teaching, we all know this. Those of us that have played certain games or sports or music at a high level, by being near a good teacher. Some of us have been near amazing teachers. I think some of them are in the front row here. And it changes you for the best. Well, we want to walk very closely to the Lord Jesus Christ. In my journey, unfortunately and fortunately, I've had experiences that I wouldn't wish on anyone. And I know in this room this morning, people have come to me even in the last few days to tell me about dark things that happen in their lives. Our culture is experiencing, aren't we? Isn't this a crazy time for America? Not going to go there. What is this? What's going on? Who's the father of lies, by the way? Anybody know? Yeah. But when good people all over start lying, when your husband starts lying to you, and he's not true to you, how in the world does our mind not see that as unhealthy? How do we not immediately click into something there? There are forces that tempt, test, and try us. Many years ago, I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. Walk with me into a courtroom in Arlington, Virginia, in the 70s. I was a bailiff. I had the fantasy that I might be an attorney. So I signed up, put in a little thing right a year before I was going to be married. They took my application. I became the bailiff for the lower criminal courts and other courts in Arlington, Virginia. That means that super tall guys weighing about 200 pounds from North Carolina prisons who've been lifting weights all the time have to behave themselves in my courtroom or I'll do something about it, although I'm unarmed. We didn't carry weapons because if they take them off you, we have a very sad story. So I'm there. Smoke and mirrors are going on every day. I don't know why I was anxious to go into work every morning. I'm there in the room. A prisoner is brought in. He's approximately 6'6", slender. The thing about it is some of our larger people, powerful linemen and stuff, they're kind of calculating. They're slow moving. They're thoughtful. This was not. This guy was frenetic. He was like doing this, making signs as he listened to the judge and the different attorneys. There was something wired for sound about him. And I'm there in the room and I'm thinking this could go to some very negative places very fast. You figure out how you alert the other deputies, and I don't want to go into that, but there are ways that law enforcement people get their friends in into the game. And he is trying to communicate to someone behind me. So, you know, just to kind of be nondescript, I kind of back up because he's not allowed to communicate with anyone in that courtroom. He's being probably receiving sentence at that point, and the room is packed. But this lady is trying to talk to him, beautiful girl, But I mean, she's not frenetic, but she's trying to talk to Mr. Wired for Sound. And I'm saying, that's not right. There's a sense of some hostility coming out of the guy, and I'm praying. I am what I am. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit, whatever that means to you. Just for those of you that don't know, I'm praying. And I know I'm pretty helpless if things go sideways. While I'm praying, the word comes into my mind, drops in. It's a prophetic word. This is just the truth. Read 1 Corinthians. Drops in my mind, witchcraft. I'm living in Arlington, Virginia. Highly educated, incredibly so. Witchcraft, really, Bill, please. And it's like, Lord, really? Why are you dropping that in there? Finally, they sentence the guy. And normally when guys are sentenced, it's as if they've been hit with a baseball bat. They're stunned, at least for a period of time, like a fish that's been tried to be made to stay at peace. And you walk them back there before they realize what's happened and how angry they're going to be. But he's still wired. And I said, because Christ put this on me, I'm thinking, oh, no, Lord. You know, sometimes he asks you to do something, and you're like, really? Is that really you, Lord? Is that really you, God? And I said, hey, sir, and I know his name to this moment. I said, I know this is strange, but do you know anything about witchcraft? I mean, he's just gotten out of a court. What are you doing, Bill? And his eyes somewhat bug out. There's a look of surprise, wonder, amazement, to use the word in the scripture today, astonishment. And he goes, yeah, my wife is a Satanist, the girl that was trying to talk to him. And those of you that have heard know the end of the story. I then began to tell him about Jesus Christ and his love and how God gave me that information to tell him that he loves him, and on and on. I basically, in moments in a jail lockup, other prisoners around, started talking to him about the Christ. He is then taken in an elevator across a kind of a secret tunnel back to the jail. Here's what I heard about him. From that moment, from a former police officer, told me that he began to go to Bible studies in the jail. He was not a Christian and had not been a Christian. And that week, his brother died of a drug overdose. And it was the love of God that these deputies that knew, I told them something strange happened. This guy is in witchcraft, blah, blah. And they took that as just something to think about when they escorted him, that they knew that something kind of bizarre had happened in the courtroom. And may I tell you, for your benefit, the judges and the very kind head sheriff at that place, I had favor with them. This is a side issue, but let's just hit it. If you're a good employee, a servant, you have favor with the boss. You have favor with the boss. Joe, is that right? Yeah. Joe Bricky oversees a lot of people, and they have favor with him because he's a wise man. Having said that, I believe there are dark forces that affect the sons of men, and so did Jesus Christ. In Luke 4:1, as he went down to Capernaum, that's kind of his hometown, where some of the disciples, Peter, John, and a number of others were chosen. It was a city in Galilee. It was on a beautiful sea, the Sea of Galilee. I've been there. I've been to Capernaum, or what they think is Capernaum. And they believe they have discovered the synagogue that Jesus was in, and I got to be in it. And you can see hills where he probably preached some of his greatest sermons when he puts out into the lake to be heard. It's a beautiful setting. So God is not offended that you want some beauty in your life. In fact, he created it for you. But there's the Lord Jesus. He's in the place that he lives, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And Mark talked to you about that. I think it was a week or two ago. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. His word possessed authority. Now, there are teachers and there are experienced, deeply experienced teachers. I was told as a kid that Nova was a great place to go to school because a lot of those folks had jobs in the discipline that they were teaching in. And that was really important. Duh. Right? You want them to have the surgeon to have a little experience before he starts cutting on you. But normally teachers would reference famous rabbis when they were there in the synagogue. They'd bring in their notes or their thoughts, and it was a culture of memory. Don't want to go there, but they would memorize massive amounts of stuff. Wonderful brain training, and there's a lot to come out of that. But the bottom line is, they would talk and reference their guys. This man that steps in, his word possessed authority. Exousia, it's called. It also had power and authority. The dunamis, the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, was in what he said. Mark read to you, when Jesus came out of the wilderness after having been tempted by the devil, the Spirit of the Lord was on him. And then he goes into Nazareth and preaches in the synagogue, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And that kind of woke them up enough to try to throw him off a cliff. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and people sensed they either had to deal with this is an insane person, or something very strange is happening in Capernaum. Now, in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice. I'm not going to dramatize this. I'm not giving the devil any glory here this morning. Remember the word authority at all times, especially those of you that are young. Jesus, let me give the big picture. Jesus has authority over the dark forces in this world. Why doesn't he stop them all? The simplest answer, and it's a much more complex answer, listen to Ravi Zacharias, wonderful expositor on these issues. Because of the freedom God has given both to men and angels, we are free to do right or wrong. But the angels who are in somewhat a higher estate, these disembodied angels, spirits, rebelled against God, continued to. There is some kind of hatred. We don't understand all that. Okay, maybe it's for your graduate school day in your heart as a Christian. All I know is what I have experienced, and I can speak with some authority. There's something out here that doesn't like people. There's something out here. I was reading Hannah Arendt, one of the great intellectuals of the 30s and 40s, who was driven out of Germany. She was a professor in some of these top, or she was a student in some of the top seminaries and universities in Germany. And they were going to a non-supernatural, non-spiritual place as a nation before the rise of Hitler. In other words, when Hitler came, Arendt says, he had authority, and inside him he pointed to the fact that the Jews were the problem. Now, the Jewish people were made by God to be a light to the Gentiles, and to this moment they are, and this is not for this sermon, a signpost, a witness that there was a God in the universe, and 6 million of them die. Because one man identified for a populace that was hurting after a war the real problem. The rich Jewish bankers, intellectuals, etc. Now, just for starters, if there are demons, they come up with false and injurious ideas to destroy people. I'm just going to call it the way it is. Jesus Christ comes in and they say, he's speaking with authority. And then they go to a work. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, ha, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel. And I'm sure he said it in a weird voice and all that. Don't make me go weird here. Let's laugh. Let's laugh because he has authority. This is like lint on the Christ's robe. Now, I imagine this like this. I imagine it a little differently. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, there are drill sergeants, there are drill instructors that yell at the boys. Son, I never, but I don't want to go into that. Then there are the worst who speak very softly. I've been around them. These are scary people. Some of you know it. And they walk up to you like this, and the silence is, I think Jesus just said, that's enough out of you. I think this thing things in a spiritual world started happening immediately. It says, you know, he had, this is not mental illness. This is not a chemical problem. This is not a brain tumor. I've seen all of those. I have rarely seen this where an individual knows something he shouldn't know. He identifies Jesus as being wholly different. And then he goes on to say, are you going to destroy us? Pointing to the theology that someday all sources of evil are going to be in the place of disintegration and destruction. The demon is no stuff. The man didn't, the demon did. I'll leave that alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Where there are several. One man had a legion of demons, a Roman legion, a mass of them. Okay. Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come. Well, let's do it his way. Be silent and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him down, note this. These things don't like people. Unclean spirit. Unclean at least suggests to us something other than holy. Holy means separate. Unclean means something dirty. Something that doesn't like us. Here's the deal. Not every sin that is committed has to do necessarily with the demonic, except in some general way. But where I would go with this, if you want to, as a non-Christian, traffic with evil and wickedness, you will run into these entities. Seen it over and over. There's a drift to destruction associated with these beings. You think it's you. You think you have the great idea. That's one drink. That's two. That's 10. Every day. That's a case on the weekend. My deal is not slamming wine and beer. That's not my thing. The thing is, at some point, some things in our life drift from okay to crazy, dark, destructive, suicidal. That's just the truth. And Jesus knows it. And he came to destroy the works of the evil one. And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, and that's what these things do, they want to destroy you. Even on his way out, he tries to do something, or they try to do something to this poor individual who most likely had begun some kind of drift. I have a dear friend who was heavily into drugs. I have a lot of them. Heavily into drugs. And methamphetamine, ring a bell with anyone here? You ever seen somebody that's used a lot of that stuff? They look like they're a Martian or something from another planet when it's over these handsome, beautiful people. And someone prayed with him to receive Christ. He was apparently pretty nonplussed about it, but he was willing to go along with it. And I'm not going to tell the story perfectly. But the fact of the matter, heavily addicted, numerous issues. Long story short, the day someone named the name of Jesus to him, and he, at some point, assented to being a Christian. It's really a simple thing. All those massive addictions disappear. Is that normal? I would say no. I don't know why the Lord chose to deliver that man with such rapidity. I do not know. Typically, it is a journey. And in this instant, he said, I guess, be silent and come out of him. He set a captive free. Isn't that what he said he would do in Isaiah? Do you remember Mark talking about that? Set the captives free. Give sight to those that are blind. Preach good news to the poor. And the demon threw him down, but he came out of him, having done him no harm. When you're in the presence of Jesus, when he ministers to you, even in this thing, there is no harm. Now people said, what is this word? For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Now, he's given you authority. You know, demonic powers can touch our outsides. Yes, they can affect our emotions if we want to. We can still make choices as Christians, but if Christ is in you, you will not be possessed internally. He doesn't rule in your life. In fact, a battle will go on inside you that is a titanic sometimes. But you will win the battle if you look to Jesus. It's just that simple. Lifetime of doing this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I cannot trust in sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. You want victory? Draw near to Christ. Talk to him every day. Establish some spiritual disciplines, not in a legalistic way, but as a disciple, a D word. There are demons, okay? There are demons. Number one, but Christ came to deliver people. Deliver people. He came to destroy devils. And he came to disciple the world. And he gives his people authority over these wicked powers. If there had been more stand-up guys in many a nation, maybe much of the flood of evil that destroyed so many people would have been stopped. And thank God there were. And there were philosophies. I love my country. I love my country. There were philosophies in the American heart put in by the Word of God. You don't pick on little people, okay? You don't slaughter people in gas chambers. We don't have to be told that here in this country yet. Why? I put it to you that the early Americans were motivated by the gospel. That the Great Awakening under Whitfield and Wesley's ministry touched America and masses of people came in. Finney, D.L. Moody, and on and on. God used people to set captives free. He discipled a nation. And we have given hope to a world. That's the truth. And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. When people can see there is a power beyond themselves that sets them free and people around them free, reports will go out. Let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we thank you that you have authority. You have authority. You have more mental power than we can even imagine, you who created heavens and earth. We do not understand these entities, but we know they're out there. We can see it. And in integrity, Lord, make us more like your Son. That the word goes out that the world may know that you sent him. That the world may know that Christ is King. And he comes as a humble servant dying on a cross. And he comes to deliver people, set them free, and give them new life. If you are not a believer, we use the ABCs here. A, admit, like my friend with multiple addictions, a zoo of lusts. Admit you're a sinner. B, believe Christ is the only Savior. All the other things are religions. They tell you to do all these things. Christ comes in to do what he did here. Clean the temple. Make you new by an act of miraculous power. You can't. He can. Let him. B, believe he's the only Savior. C, choose free will to follow him. If that's your heart's desire, raise the hand of your heart and say yes to Jesus. That's all it takes. My friend was delivered from a number of things just by a yes to Jesus and permanently. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. Bless this thy people, O Lord. Thank you. And we do pray for people like the Clees and others who are afflicted, Dr. Morey, all of these of our dear people, others with spiritual problems. Help them see they can win the victory. That's going to be the best time of their life, even though it seems like the worst. And Lord, give us authority to overcome all the works of the evil one as representatives and disciples of your Son. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.